Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Day two of our President's Cup journals, and Smiley, to quote Sahith Theegala in Thursday's press conference, first of all, don't cancel me. Second of all, this was the Mongolian reversal of all Mongolian reversals, because holy smokes, 5-0 finishing yesterday's four-ball session. U.S. looks like they have an insurmountable lead. We are, you know, waving the white flag, trying to reconfigure the President's Cup, and we are now tied 5-5 after the first. I mean, this is an incredible stat, and of course comes via Justin Ray, who's got the best stats in golf. This is the first time across the President's Cup, Ryder Cup, or Solheim Cup history that sessions have been swept back to back. Truly stunning stuff. Smiley, I'm Charlie Hume. He's Smiley Kaufman, fresh back from the course at Royal Montreal. Smiley, we're going to get to the golf, but the first place I want to start is by quoting Sung J.M.'s translator, who just absolutely nailed it today, who said the vibes were vibing out there. And here's some of the vibes. I want to give you a smattering of some vibes I saw, and then just tee you up to paint a picture of what it was like being out there today. Because you had Tom Kim starting the day, firing up the crowd, rocking the bucket hat, Minwoo Lee in the custom international hockey jersey. Mackenzie Hughes, after the win, says he wishes he was drinking a Canadian beer. He must have been listening to the pod, because we called him a little bit on drinking the Stella, and instead he comes back and says, hey, maybe wish it was a Labatt's or something like that. And then Siwoo Kim draining a par putt on 18 to win that match one up. So let's just start right there. I mean, Tom Kim said in his presser yesterday, needed more crowd support. Sounded like he got it. How was the energy out there today, Smiley?
Yeah, from the picture I sent you yesterday, when I got to the range, there was 10 people in the stands, and just immediately thinking to myself, this is a different vibe than, you know, what I experienced at the Ryder Cup of last year in Rome. You know, there was just so many people, even on that first round. I know it was a Friday at the Ryder Cups, so it's way different, but still, just the energy was just not there all day yesterday. And granted, there was American red on the board the entire day, and the internationals hardly got any momentum, but the message was received, and it was received loud and clear from the fans. They brought it right from the get-go, but also you really saw the players and the captains right from the start of the day, really embracing the crowd, just like you were talking about, you know, with Tom Kim and Minwoo Lee really being cheerleaders out there all day. I was watching Tom every single hole that he was around me a lot today, just pumping up the crowds as he was going up to the green. So although that Tom Kim didn't play today, which we were criticized, Mike, we're not putting Tom Kim out, it honestly worked out best, because Tom Kim is the energy guy as well as Minwoo Lee. They embraced those roles today perfectly and were able to really tap into what is already a great Montreal crowd, according to our YouTube comments.
A lot of Canadians jumping in there, letting us know.
Yeah, they were letting us know that Montreal Canadians typically are some of the strongest fan base of the Canadian contingent of NHL hockey. So I saw that today, had some amazing moments, and 5-0. I think our advice to the captains, Mike Weir, was to go and show the movie Miracle, show all the classic movies.
Movie
and,
night.
And they and credit to Mike Weir. I didn't like the pairings that he set out. Charlie, I really felt like he did not do a great job with the pairings today. And we were all criticizing the pairings. But boy, oh boy, did he pull all the right buttons and do those boys play well together.
It was interesting hearing from some of those guys after, just talking about how that mood could have been really bad going down 5-0. But instead, they had a lot of fun on the bus back and had some team time after and kept the vibes in a good place. And then those vibes were vibing today. So
vibes are vibing.
You led into it a little bit there. We should get into the golf itself. But before we do that, we got to thank two partners that have been great to support us this entire week in the lead up and also throughout the weekend as we finish these journals out. So let's start first by... I'm geared up again. I got my head lid on. If you're an organization looking to build or manage a digital platform with a partner that'll bring a consultative approach, unmatched engineering, and innovative solutions to accelerate your impact, check out Ahead at ahead.com. And if you're down 5-0 in the President's Cup, or if you're a mid-30s guy who's aging and he's, you know, really sore and he's trying to start jogging with his dogs, say that 10 times fast, and you need a way to recover, you got to check out the recovery pin at recoverypin.com. Smiley's got it rocking right now on his left forearm. I mean, this thing legit saved me, Smiley. I went out today for our second jog before the hurricane hit here in North Carolina, and I would not have been able to do it had I not needled the lower back.
Wow, how'd you do that? How'd you do the back? Did Amanda do it for you?
Or no,
you...
I just did it to myself. Just kind of, that's a nice thing, wow, about the recovery pin. It doesn't require a lot of, yeah.
You see, hard, everybody knows how hard it is to get to those tough little nicks and crannies on the lower back. And look at you being able to use a recovery pen with two sharp edges. And, you know, who's to say that you and I can't pull off the little things around the house? And look at you, Charlie.
I mean, it's a big win getting the dogs out of the house, getting them exercise. And you were the one who had the line. I think you told Digby out there today that this might have been the difference. This might have been the difference, the turnaround.
All I said was there was one team that used the recovery pins last night, and there was one team that didn't. And one team got swept today and one team didn't. So you be the one to figure out which team used the recovery pin.
And a bit of a somber note, on the note of the hurricane, thoughts and prayers going out to everybody in the Western North Carolina area, because I saw some of those pictures today and it has been tough out there. So just really hoping they can pull through. And,
yes.
And it's been tough for a lot of people in a lot of places, but especially here in North Carolina. So thinking of them, praying for them, and hoping for the best there. So let's get to the golf today, Smiley. Mm-hmm. The actual breaking down the golf itself. I mean, you and I talked about this in our preview episode. The stats coming into this competition, where in four ball, the internationals actually had a 2-point edge lifetime, 72-70. And that went straight out the window yesterday, losing all five matches. You look at a foursomes today where the United States of America had a 37-point edge lifetime, 89.5 to 52.5. And you're thinking, this is a tough, tough scene. All shot is not great for the internationals. What do they do? Just go out there, flip the script. They win 5-0. So, and just more stats on this, you know, from the PGA Tour communications. This was kind of a wild one as well. The last time the internationals won a foursome session, 2005 in the first round. And they won it by a margin of 3.5 to 2.5. So just barely. How, just before we dig into the individual matches, what you saw, how stunning was this to you?
It was completely shocking. I didn't think the internationals stood a chance to even win the session today, especially with some of the formidable pairings that the United States were going to put across. But really got the sense when I got on the grounds, it felt like the internationals were going to make an early charge and just to get some black and yellow on the board. And, you know, after talking to some caddies and talking to some players, one of the things I noticed just from watching yesterday, it felt like the players were out of rhythm, in the fact that the players were having a little bit more say on the shot. Where talking to players that have had success on this format, for the most part, they always say it's always best to try to just play as if you were playing a golf tournament in your normal routines with your normal processes and reading putts with your caddy. I felt like yesterday, not only with Adam Scott and Minwoo Lee, apparently yesterday as well with Sung J.M. and the group that he paired with yesterday, that there was just too many voices. Mm. They were trying almost too hard to get off to a great start, and maybe just a little bit too much advice and not enough of hey, you know how to play match play. You know how to play golf. Go out there and do it. And today you could tell that right from the get-go, they were going to come out aggressive. They were going to try to get the crowd into this early. But then you could see that they were obviously executing at a more at a higher level, hitting a bunch of fairways today, which I think was ultimately the difference today in foursomes. Yesterday, four ball, guys were hitting fairways from the United States side, but in a foursome with only one ball that you know, your team could put in the fairway, the international team today was so good at hitting the fairways that I actually love to look up the statistics for each team and how many, what their fairway percentage was, the difference, because I, from what I saw, that's why the international team made so many birdies and made so many putts, because they had opportunities to get it closer, where I saw a lot of the United States team, they were in the rough, really just playing to corners and just fighting for pars and just basically sitting ducks.
If you show up to the first tee in a President's Cup or a Ryder Cup, and you look over and you see Smiley Kaufman wearing a little headset and a pack and ready to go out there and commentate on your group. Much like the diaper changes I have on the horizon when my baby girl arrives, there might be a blowout brewing. Because, I mean, the last 2 years, Smiley, you had the Ludwig and Victor 9-7 over Scotty and Brooks. Today you had Hideki and Sungjae beating Xander and Patrick Cantlay 7-6. The 7-6 mark is the largest win margin in President's Cup history. It's only been done twice before today. David Frost beat Kenny Perry in 1996 in singles by that margin. And in 2011, Adam Scott and KJ Choi beat Tiger Woods and Steve Stricker in Thursday foursomes, also 7-6. What were the vibes like in that group? Like, I'm wondering if you could just compare and contrast. I remember you and I talking about how surreal that Ryder Cup match was, the way Ludwig and Victor won that, and just, you know, how out of sorts Scotty and Brooks were. Did parts of it feel like that, or did it feel different from that?
I would say still what I saw from Ludwig and Victor was the best alternate shot I'll ever see. Wow. But this was, if that was one, this was a fairly close second.
Wow.
From what I saw from Sungjae and Hideki today, it was just right. You know, it was just impressive, right? They're the first group out. There's expectations for that first group, by the captain and Mike Weir to get these guys started hot. You know, you don't want to give up an early lead to the Americans and, you know, especially Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. These are, you know, these are the second best player in the world. And Cantlay obviously has had, you know, loads of success in international team formats. But what they did such a good job of today was they only missed one fairway. They were basically, I think they missed one green from my recollection. So they were one under through five holes. And then once we got to six, they birdied every single hole the rest of the way. They birdied 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Now 11 was a conceded birdie, but it also was a 7-footer that you could have made. So with that being said, just, you know, you can look at Xander and Pat without even looking at the score. And you're like, okay, you see that obviously the international team played incredibly well. But the first five holes where it felt like, you know, the Americans could have found moments to, you know, not give up quite as much of a lead. Patrick Cantlay really struggled in the first six holes. He played better, I would say, as the match went on, like after the first six holes. Xander, I'd say probably, you know, he didn't have his best stuff today, but I wouldn't say Xander played bad. I would say Patrick really put Xander in some really tough positions today with some of the drives that he hit. But that's the thing about one day to the next. The stats from the first day, Patrick Cantlay, according to what Kevin Kisner told me, was that from a strokes gain perspective, Patrick Cantlay gained almost four strokes in the first day. So listen, you could say that Patrick Cantlay, he's got to figure it out. He's playing terrible. Dude, he was the best player the day before. Just didn't have it today. Alternate shot can be weird, but that's three straight losses now for Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele in foursomes. They were started out together as a pairing in foursomes 5-0. Now they lost their last three.
That's a perfect tee up for where I want to go next. Just looking at some of that strokes gain stuff, because you are correct. Yesterday in Thursday four ball, Patrick Cantlay gains 3.94 strokes.
Is that Data Golf you're using?
It's Data Golf, yeah.
Okay, cool.
You can't lay at the top there. Wyndham Clark just shy of 4. Russell Henley just shy of 2.5. Xander Schauffele just shy of 2. A lot of Americans at the top of the board, of course. You flip over to Friday foursomes. There were only 3 Americans in the positive. Tony Finau, 0.14, so just narrowly positive. Scottie Scheffler gained 1.43 strokes, and Max Homa was, by Data Golf standard, had the best statistical day.
Do you trust an alternate shot Data Golf stats thing? I kind of throw it out the window a little bit, you know? I mean, not throw it out completely. It tells a little bit of the picture, but not the whole picture.
Well, I think all these stats come with a grain of salt because there has to be subjective parts of it, right? Because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, it's a system you're putting together where you're trying to kind of determine from a collection of other. It's also relative to the rest of the players that are in that field, and it's, well, I think
if they separated, this is where it'd be useful for me, is if the players that teed off on the odd holes were in one section and the players that teed off in the even were in one section, then you could see like shots on playing. You know, if you're the guy that were hitting on all the par threes today, what I'd rather see the odds on how you compared against the guys that also played on and teed off on those holes.
Well, but the stories kind of match up, like Max being where he was. Brian Harman, statistically, according to Data Golf, was the worst player out there today. Lost 3.87 strokes, and to hit the Gala was not, you know, far ahead of him, minus 3.09.
Shocking for Brian, really is.
Yeah,
on this golf course, this should suit his game. Very surprising. He did not have the best of form coming into here. I thought you could have made a case to bring a player or two different than Brian and Max, and we'll see what they got the rest of the week. But not the best start from those two. I was thinking that they might be able to kind of squeak something out, but man, did they let one get away in a match that you and I called yesterday as I felt like the pivotal match for the internationals, that they had to steal one from Brian Harman and Max Homa. Little did we know that they were going to not only steal the other 4, but they were going to do stomp and squeeze and just bury you into the sand. Cause that's, I mean, it was an absolute beatdown today.
Yeah. Well, and on that topic, Justin Ray Golf, 2 more gems from Justin Ray. Holes spent leading matches today at Royal Montreal.
Can I guess?
Yes, please.
57 and 1.
Did you see the stat?
It's all set.
Oh, way to spoil it, Smiley. No, that's. I mean, it's a staggering stat. And the other one I saw that I thought was wild is, prior to today, in the span of 1994 to 2022, the foursomes matches won by the international team with a margin of 5 and 4 or greater. 4. They won 3 of them today by that margin. I mean, it's just insane stuff. I'm wondering on that topic, Smiley, do you, for on the American side, I mean, it's still a tie ball game. It's, you're starting fresh. You're basically playing one more 4-ball, one more foursome sessions tomorrow with 4 matches in each and 12 singles, and that's going to decide the thing. But yesterday we said, even though it was a 5-0 sweep, there's some tight margins there.
Yeah.
And that Scheffler Henley win kind of got away, you know, from the internationals at the end, but really that was close for the most part. Whereas today there were some blowouts. Do you worry at all on the American side that it was like, we played really, really good on Thursday and they played okay to good, but just not good enough. Whereas today they played phenomenally well and we just played bad in a lot of stretches.
You know, it's tough to switch your mindset to the next day. When you have a 5-0 sweep, I think it's easy to take a little bit of your foot off the pedal, but you got to give all the credit to the internationals. They answered the call because they could have easily said, you know what? We don't have a chance. This is the Americans. They've dominated us in this President's Cup over the past, since the beginning of this thing, right? Like the United States have been the better side. So they could have easily sulked and said, you know what? This isn't our year. We're going to have to wait 2 years from now and to go to Medina, another road international, one in which they're going to be, you know, not going to be favorites for. So got to give them credit first and foremost. But I think, you know, you mentioned Russell Henley, you mentioned Scottie Scheffler taking on Siwoo and Ben On in that last match. I think momentum is so important in these cup events. I felt like that putt that Siwoo Kim made was just the perfect ending to the, you can argue, one of the best days for the internationals in this format, because a half a point gives a little bit of that momentum to the U.S. side heading into the locker room, in which you say, you know what, guys, I know today was not our day, but we got that half point. We still have a lead. This is our President's Cup to win. But now you go into a 5-0 sweep, the same type of locker room in which the internationals dealt with yesterday, and you've got to go back to the drawing board and put your best pairings out there to go try to secure a lead heading into a 36-hole day in which we're going to see now going to be an electric day of golf. Bright and early tomorrow, so everybody get that coffee ready for a 7 a.m. start, because it's going to be bumping early.
Yeah, it's I agree wholeheartedly, because it's just such a, even past the statistical part where you're leading by a point instead of tied. I just think that the swing on that hole where the internationals hit like three bad shots, you could say. I mean, you know, it's not that it's a terrible drive, but you find the rough. It's a bad lie. Siwoo Kim does what he can to kind of advance it, but leaves it short. Ben On obviously wants to hit that chip closer, whereas on the American side, you find a fairway. Scottie Scheffler hits a good iron, just doesn't advance it far enough over that little ridge. And the putt, you know, in that situation, you're trying not to leave yourself having to make the fourth putt. You want to kind of hit it in the little circle of friendship, yeah, and get the gimme. But Siwoo just steps up, makes the putt, you know, 15 footer or whatever it was, celebrates. And it's just such a gut punch, because even from a even if you win that session from the international side, 4.5 to 1/2, the last thing you're thinking about is, man, if we'd only just made a par on 18 to get the sweep, that would have been, it's just the last thing you're thinking about. Whereas to your point, the Americans, you're going back to the locker room, you're thinking, we have something to take and play forward. Now you're just, you almost got to do the same thing the internationals did last night.
Just, yeah, you do.
Wipe it from your brain, go back, you know, watch the movies, hang out, have a good time, and just say it's a fresh slate for, just like it was. You might as well have not have played Thursday and Friday. You just showed up and we got a 2-day competition.
Well, what about you from your perspective? I want to just ask kind of what your thoughts are and just the overall, you know, how great of a golf day it was. The golf course to me really shined. You could feel the energy through the TV. To me, I felt like it was one of the best days of the year.
I agree. I think it's, you know, we've talked a lot about just the identity of this event. We talked a little bit about this last night and throughout the week, and just trying to kind of find something that brings some energy. And you had that moment yesterday between Scottie Scheffler and Tom Kim, and you're thinking, ooh, could this get people intrigued and interested? There was a lot of chatter on social media of like, this is what I'm looking to see. I'm kind of invested now. And then, of course, it ends the way it does. And the conversation we're having on the back end is, we got to fix this thing because no one's going to care about it if this is the way it's going to go. And you talked a little bit about like animosity or just, you know, trying to kind of find ways to create intrigue. And today there wasn't really any of that like back and forth as much. I mean, there were some fist pumps and things like that. But the best way to kind of create a rivalry in a head-to-head sort of situation is by going out and beating the crap out of the other team. And that's what the internationals did today. And so now it's like, you know, you don't need to do as much of the produce, theatrics, or whatever you want to call the other stuff. You have a full game on, you know, tie ball game going into the weekend that everyone's going to want to tune in for, strictly on the merits of the competition. I think the energy you saw today, that was a big lift. That's one too where you know, I think unpacking why that happened the way it did, like it, completely different situation, but it kind of reminded me a couple of weeks ago, like the Solheim Cup, where they didn't get the buses in, they didn't get people in on time. There's an empty first tee. I just want to figure out the dynamics of why they didn't have a strong support on Thursday. And it may just boil down to what we talked about of make it 3 days, you know, Ryder Cup sort of scenario, so people can take the day off work on Friday or whatever it is they need to do so they can be there. Because it felt a little bit like, oh, it's just day one. We'll just kind of, you know, if we miss it today, that's great. We'll be there the rest of the weekend. And to Tom Kim's point, like they kind of needed that boost yesterday and didn't have it.
Yeah, totally. I think you nailed it there, because the forecast for Thursday was supposed to be for a lot more rain. It actually left before we got started at around, I'd say it stopped raining at about 10 o'clock, and we teed off at 11:30. It was ball in hand yesterday, so we had plenty of rain here, which will keep people away. It actually turned out to be a nice day. but it just wasn't quite cranked up to the level it needed to be. I actually asked Brant Snedeker that same question. I was like, should this thing start on Friday? He's like, well, from a player standpoint, we like it starting on Thursday because it allows guys to rest and actually not play 36 holes, you know, two straight days and then play that singles match on Sunday. Just a lot of golf. So for this, you know, you have an opportunity for guys for it to feel like a normal week. You know, for guys that are going to play five times, they're going to play 36 holes tomorrow, but it is, you know, foursomes. It won't be quite as bad. Is tomorrow morning four?
Tomorrow morning should be. It should say the same. It should be four ball tomorrow morning. I think the pattern repeats itself. It's like it four does, ball foursomes, okay. Four ball foursomes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm rolling with. But I mean, I think that, well, what about this? This is completely off the wall. This could be an insane and stupid idea. What if it was six matches on Friday and Saturday and then singles on Sunday? Is that ludicrous? Like, just have everyone play Friday, everyone play Saturday, and everyone play Sunday.
You just broke my brain. I don't want to go that. What would you say? Like,
what if you just had all 12 players play every single session?
No.
You had six four-ball matches, yeah, six yes, foursomes match. Or yes, I guess, yeah.
Yesterday, you just told me that the United States had too big of an advantage because of their depth, and now you're telling me you want everybody to play?
I'm ideating.
Okay, you're going back and forth on me, man.
I'm just throwing stuff at a wall. I'm trying to fix it. It's
fine. We're good. It's 5-5. Let's play ball. Let's get into these. We got matches out. Let's get into them.
That's exactly right. And before we get there, quick shout out to Adam Scott, who now has the most career points for the international side at the President's Cup, 22. Shout out to Adam, friend of the show. Saturday morning's matches, which we have since confirmed, this is a four ball. Adam Scott and Taylor Pendrith taking on Scottie Scheffler and Colin Morikawa. That's a strong team going out first. Then you got Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes keeping the Canadians together. Team Maple Syrup against Tony Finau and Xander Schauffele.
That's who I'm walking with that group.
That'll be a fun one. Yeah. Then you have Siwoo Kim and Tom Kim against Keegan Bradley and Wyndham Clark. Then you have Hideki Matsuyama and Sung Jae-im keeping that squad together after the 7-6 win day, playing against Patrick Cantlay and Sam Burns, which means that on the American side, Max Homa, Russell Henley, Brian Harman, and Sahith Theegala are all sitting. On the international side, Minwoo Lee, Jason Day, Christian Bezuidenhout out, and Ben Ahn are all sitting. The thing that pops to me first, Smiley, is, I mean, obviously the Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa pairing, but getting back to splitting up Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele to the very successful pairings they had on Thursday.
You know, when I look at these pairings and who all's playing and who all's sitting, I think that both captains, there's a sense of urgency in these pairings. I think this is who's sitting, I think, is a bit of an evaluation of the first 2 days of play and who's played well and who has maybe struggled to find their rhythm a bit. I think the only player that you could pick out of that bunch that you could say is, you know, arguably maybe could have played their way in there was Russell Henley. I thought Russell, although he didn't make the putts down the stretch, he was hitting very, very good putts. It was a little bit opposite of Ben Ahn, who I felt like was much more on the struggle side than Russell Henley when it came to some of those moments down the stretch. But I kind of felt like we were going to see Minwoo just because he felt like he had to play him. But with Minwoo sitting, that to me is a big sign of Mike Weir saying, I don't care about guys feeling bad about not playing. Minwoo may not play all day tomorrow. And that's just they may roll these same pairings out in the afternoon, depending on how they play. So we'll see what goes on there. But when I look at these pairings of Scott Pendrith and Scheffler Morikawa, God, that's Scheffler Morikawa. It seems like that is going to be a tall task to beat those two. Corey Connors and Mac Hughes. I want to just talk briefly about those two as I got to walk with their group to finish up their match. After Corey Connors hit that 5-iron on the par 3, it hits it to like 4 feet. I'm walking up to the green and it's some incredible hospitality around that 13th green. And I wish I had my phone out because I couldn't hear anything in my ears that was happening in the broadcast because it was so wowed, as wowed as I've ever heard a crowd, as Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes are pumping up the crowd walking to that 13th green. One of the coolest sights I've ever seen. And this is a Friday. You know, it felt like a Sunday down the stretch, but that's the juice that we needed, where was a Canadian duo to kind of bring a little bit of that lift, besides the two guys in Hideki and Sungjae just getting off to just an insane start and an incredible day and making so many birdies. But Corey Connors and Mac Hughes really kept it going, as I had my doubts on how Mac was going to go out and play in this first, in his first session, the first President's Cup. And you would have thought that he had played, you know, countless President's Cups. So to show up in that atmosphere, in that stadium, and go and, you know, play as well as he did, I got to give big props to Mackenzie Hughes as well as Corey Connors there.
Yeah, just we were looking for a good Canadian combo. We weren't sure what it was going to be. We were even lamenting the absence of Nick Taylor. Turns out these guys brought it home in a big way. It was cool to see them get it done, and the fans obviously loved it. And nice to see Adam Scott and Taylor Pendrith forming a nice little partnership there too, you know, finding a place for the other Canadian there. So the vibes will be vibing tomorrow, Smiley. I can tell you that much. It's going to be, it should be an electric setting. I mean, if that was the Friday fan support, you can only imagine what it's going to be like on the weekend when everyone's truly free and out there. Good weather. Is the forecast looking good for the weekend?
We got a great weather. Fantastic. For the weekend. It's going to be incredible. I think I got, as we go out, we needed a bit of a prediction from you as well as myself, but why don't you get us started? Let's do the first session here. So let's predict this first session, how we're going to go. We've had a 5-0 and a 5-0. I think you and I both have toted the line that this is going to be a tight one, but our session picks have been pretty tough, but I think that's been the case for a lot of people.
Well, it's funny. Yeah. Because we ended up at 5-5 and I had us at 6-4 USA after two sessions. So I was close. I just was completely off on the session. So if I'm looking at this, I'm saying, I think Scotty and Colin win that first match. I just can't wait to see them play together. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then I think I'm going to give it to Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes in that second match. So 1-1 at that point. Siwoo and Tom Kim against I just, Keegan and Wyndham played so brilliantly together, putted so well together on Thursday that but I could see Tom Kim big lift. Okay, I'm gonna have that one be a half. So now it's 1.5, 1.5. And then you know what, Smiley? I'm Hideki and Sungjae, I think they keep it rolling. I'm gonna go 2.5 to 1.5 for the internationals in the morning session tomorrow.
I go the opposite way. I have the first two matches going to the Americans. I have a half as well in that third match, but I have Hideki and Sungjae winning that last match.
Got it. Okay. That's so either side of a 2.5 to a 1.5.
Yeah. Cantlay and Burns played really well together, but
they did.
I think the hardest thing to do is, after a day like Hideki and Sungjae had, is to back it up the next day. You did everything right. Everything went your way. Everything was perfect. It's going to be tough for those two tomorrow to keep it. You'll know quickly whether they are going to keep that momentum going, or it's going to be a little bit like the first day in which, you know, Cantlay and Burns were just absolutely on fire.
Well, it'll also be interesting to see, you know, depending on what happens in the morning, or did they have foursomes pairings that are scripted already? Or are we going to see some big deviations for that afternoon? You know, just depending on how it goes. It's going to be an interesting morning, and it's an all day affair, right? We have 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. tomorrow, which is going to be a lot of fun.
So who's leading going into singles?
All right, so if I'm giving it to the internationals, 2.5 to 1.5.
You're just guessing here, right? So
yeah. I will say I you know what? I'm gonna say it's gonna be tied going into singles.
I'm gonna go with the Americans got a 1-point lead going into going into Sunday.
I just think that it just the internationals are finding a way to scrape. Like, there really isn't a defeated sense. I think Quayle was tough a couple years ago because it just, you thought you had this really good roster going in, and then Liv just rips it apart. And so you're just kind of showing up and doing the best you can with the guys you have. But Adam said it too on the podium after today's matches. Like, I can't describe why this team feels different, but it's just, there's a different sort of buzz around this locker room. And you know, you don't come back and win 5-0 after going down 5-0 unless that is a true statement. So I just think they're going to find a way to battle and scrape. I know this, like Sunday singles are going to be electric. Like
tomorrow's going to be electric. So I can't wait for tomorrow. Yeah.
This is awesome. Well, this is where we wanted to be with the President's Cup. A lot of fun, a lot of intrigue heading into the weekend. So we that's about all for today's journal. Can't wait to recap it all tomorrow. Appreciate everyone watching and listening as always. Big thanks to Ahead. Big thanks to the Recovery Pen. I got to fit in a dog jog at some point tomorrow. And I'm going to do a little pen work before I do that. But we will talk to you very soon to recap Saturday from Royal Montreal. Talk to you then.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.